please keep your Bible open to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a great psalm because it speaks of the four great attributes of God. First, His knowledge of all things. Secondly, His presence everywhere. Thirdly, His power, particularly in the formation of man. And lastly, His holiness in searching our hearts. Our devotion this evening, however, is focused just on verse 14. The psalmist declares, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Every now and then, we hear of someone we know who is going through some kind of identity crisis. I remember Kung Fu actor Jackie Chan once acted in a show entitled "Who Am I?" or in Chinese, "Wo Shi Shui," where he was a secret agent who lost his memory and then he embarked on the quest to discover his true identity. One of the most important questions of life is, who am I? Why am I here on earth? Some people spend a lifetime trying to find themselves. So there are some who go to the remotest parts of this earth, others to some monastery or to Tibet and so on to search for the answer to the meaning of life. But the answer to this question is found in God's word. And this 139th psalm describes a man who is thinking about himself and his relationship to God. If you are struggling with an identity crisis and you are not sure just who you are and why you exist, may I encourage you to meditate on this marvelous psalm. Now, I want you to notice how this psalm begins in verse 1 with an affirmation. Verse 1 says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." The psalmist says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me out." In other words, you have examined into my thoughts and my feelings. And David is overwhelmed by the fact that God knows him, and God knows him most intimately. God knows the smallest of details and even the innermost secrets. And there's nothing about his life that God isn't aware of. One of the greatest truths in life which we ought to know and which we all must come to learn is that there's no escape from God. That he knows us true and true, and that he's always and ever with us. Now, how do we know that God really knows us? On what grounds do we embrace the truth that God is always and ever with us? I submit to you because God created us. And David says in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins." In other words, God has formed my inward parts. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And the word "cover" means God has knitted him or with him in his mother's womb. When God called Jeremiah to the prophetic ministry, God said, "Before I formed thee in the belly," even before Jeremiah was formed, God says, "I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Similarly, Paul's testimony in his letter to the Galatians, Paul said, "But when he pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." God knows us intimately because he created us. Now, we all live in an age where there is much debate concerning human life and also human rights, about where man comes from, about the right to live and the right to terminate one's life. We are not interested in all the scientific or philosophical debates about the origin or the sanctity of life. We are interested in what the Bible has to say. And David says in verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Now this phrase, "fearfully and wonderfully made," underscores this truth that life is precious and ordained of God. Now, David said, I'm fearfully made. It suggests a sense of reverence and awe. It implies that when we consider the depth and complexity of our being, we are to be filled with a sense of wonder and awe at God's creative power. You know, the human body is the most complex and also unique organism in the world. And that complexity, that uniqueness, speak volumes about the mind and also the might of our Creator God. You know, just the human brain is an amazing organ, fearfully and wonderfully made. The human brain is an amazing organ, fearfully and wonderfully made. It has the ability, to learn, to reason, and to control so many functions of the body. We can see, we can hear, we can smell. And also at the same time to maintain balance, to walk, to run, to stand, to sit, and all the while maybe concentrating on something else. And not just the brain, but every aspect of the body, down to the tiniest microscopic cell, reveals that man is fearfully made. Then David says, we are wonderfully made. In other words, we have been separated, marked out, and distinguished. And this speaks of the care and attention with which God has made us. We are literally fashioned by God's almighty hand. Now, some of you love pets, whether it's dogs or cats or ornamental fish. But I hope you know that even though dogs sometimes act almost human, and sometimes dogs are more fun than humans, they are not human. The biblical testimony is that God made men and women with a uniqueness that is not present in other things or creatures he created. Of all of God's creation, man is unique because he's made in the image or likeness of God. And so Genesis chapter 1 reminds us, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. And so God made each of us, and we all make his in his likeness. And this is never said of any other creature, never said of any animal or bird or fish or plant. And this is what sets us apart. We are not animals, we are not plants or vegetation. God created us, and he proclaimed us very good. And so even though man has been marked by sin, and we do see great wickedness and sin in humanity, that does not negate or change the fact that we are wonderfully made, so much so that God sent his beloved Son to die on the cross and to bring us back to himself. And so each of us is intricately and uniquely created by God. And so if I may use these words, awesomely, remarkably created by God. Now, if you have your Bibles, you turn with me to Psalm 119 and in verse 73, the psalmist declares, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And we are made by God's hand, fashioned by him. And the psalmist says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Have you ever considered the wonder or the miracle of conception and birth? You know, someone described a baby as something that gets you up at night and gets you down during the day. Sometimes we feel like that as parents. But David considers babies to be miracles from the hand of God, something to be marveled. And so in verse 14, he says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. In other words, my soul knows very well. And so we stand amazed at the power of God in the conception, the birth, and also the growth of a child. And so as we ponder this great truth, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, what should be our response? I submit to you that our response should be one of praise, adoration, and worship. And David was filled with amazement and adoration as he considers how God created him. And so in verse 14, he says, I will praise thee. And so we ought to bow down, or we ought to bow in reverence before God and worship him, because every one of us is a product of his handiwork. Now, by now, God has made billions of human beings, but we are not mass produced. We are not churned out, you know, in a factory, in a mechanistic manner. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you think about it. You know, there are about 8 billion people on planet Earth today, yet a fingerprint has never been replicated. You know, the color of your iris is like your fingerprint. It's unique to you, and nobody else in the world has the exact same colored eye. You know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. In other words, we are his creation. You know, I like some paraphrase that says, we are his handiwork. And there's one version that says, we are God's masterpiece. You know, when we look at all of God's creation, for example, if you look at the universe and the solar system that we live in, it's really beyond our comprehension. This earth is only a very small, a very tiny speck in a vast universe. And so at night, if you look up to the billions of stars out there in the Milky Way, scientists tell us that the light we are seeing from these stars is millions of light years away. I can't even ponder what it means. And if you were to ponder these imponderable facts, sometimes it's possible to feel very small and very insignificant. But the God who made the stars and everything else in the universe also made you. We may feel insignificant, but actually we are very significant because we are the pinnacle of God's creation. And so let us embrace this truth as well, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Now, knowing this truth of Psalm 139 and verse 14 really means that we can face any situation or circumstance with confidence. Now, I know that there are moments in our lives where we ask God, why? You know, we may lose a loved one. We may fail at a business, or we may lose all our money, or we may be faced with an incredible illness. And we may ask why God allows all these things to happen to us. Well, I was given a very wonderful reminder last week. And the reminder is this: we may not understand God's methods of dealing with us. You know, we may not understand God's means of dealing with us, but we must never doubt God's motive in so dealing with us. Life is perplexing, and we cannot figure out what God is doing. But we must never doubt God's motive in dealing with us. Why? Because we have been fearfully and wonderfully made by him. Now, the preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 10 to 11, the preacher said, I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. In other words, you know, I have seen the burdens which God had given to men. And yet the preacher said in the next verse, God had made everything beautiful in his time. God is in control, and he will make all things right. And Paul said this in Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4. Paul says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, which is all of us, that were under the law, under the condemnation of the law, so that we all might receive the adoption of son. And because ye are sons, we are now sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so now we have a loving Heavenly Father. And so our lives are fragile, filled with uncertainties, I'm sure we all have experienced the ups and downs of life. There have been seasons of joy and there have been seasons of despair. There have been moments of victory as well as moments of defeat. Life is always changing, and yet there's one constant in our lives that never changes, and that is the presence of God. There's nothing in our lives that God does not see, that God does not know. And I hope that this is a wonderful and a comforting reminder to you tonight. Now, it is not just that God sees everything, but God sees you. It is not just that God knows everything, but He knows you. It is not just that God is everywhere, but He is everywhere with you. And it's not just that God created everything. It is that God created you. And so God knows you. God knows me intimately. And therefore, He certainly can take care of you. He can certainly take care of me perfectly. Because He knows all my needs and He can supply them. It reminds me of what Jesus comforted all of us. The sparrow that falls to the ground. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" In other words, a penny. You know, just a copper coin. "And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, because ye are of more value than many sparrows." And so if you know the eternal God who has created you in His image, your life has purpose. You are not here by accident. You did not just evolve. God created you. And God created you. God fearfully, wonderfully made you. And therefore, there is a purpose for your existence. You are not a byproduct of an accident. If you are a byproduct of an accident, then there's no purpose of your existence, because it's all pure chance. And many people find life meaningless because to them, life is, you know, pure chance by accident. Not so for the believer. And so I want you to remember that God has created you. Because of that, you are unique, you are special, and most importantly, you have a purpose in life. And so if you are still alive today, and I'm sure you are, God has a purpose for you. What is that purpose? Let me read to you Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." And that's what we ought to do. Always to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. You know, earlier I read from Psalm 119, verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." And the prayer of the psalmist was, "Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." The commandment to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. And also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that really is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And so let us try to live in the conscious presence of God, in the center of His will, and also reflecting His image by our lives. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful reminder that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by an all-knowing and all-powerful Creator. And so help us, Father, that we may learn always to draw close to Thee, to kneel, to know of Your will and a purpose for each one of us, whatever station of life we may be in, and particularly in the church that You have placed us, so that we may learn to live our lives to honor You and to glorify Thee. And help us in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life to always remember that we will never, never escape from Thee, that we will always be held by Your loving hands. Hear this our prayers, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.